VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we'd like to welcome you to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network. I'm sure you'll find the topic today to be an interesting one. As a matter of fact, we're going to discuss a topic that, to my knowledge, has never been discussed on Crosstalk. It's a ministry that's been established to reach those in the Amish community with the gospel. According to our guest website, there are over 280,000 Amish living in the United States, with the highest populations of Amish in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Wisconsin, New York, Michigan, Missouri, and in 23 other states, and in Ontario, Canada. The Amish population doubling approximately every 20 years, with a new Amish community being formed on average of one every 3.5 weeks. So what do Amish believe? What is being done to reach them with the gospel? We trust you'll stay tuned for our program today. It's our privilege to have with us Joe Keim, who is the founder and executive director of Mission to Amish People. Joe, thanks for joining us today in Crosstalk.
Thank you. This is really a special privilege for me to be a part of this time.
Well, Joe, let's begin with your testimony in brief. I'm sure you could talk an hour on your coming to faith, but you are formerly Amish, raised in an old order Amish sect. But tell us, if you would, your story.
Well, I was just under 18 years old when my cousin and I decided that we had enough of the Amish beliefs and religion. And so he and I started walking one night, which is very common. Most of the ones that leave the Amish will jump out of their windows at night and crawl down over the roof and leave without telling anyone. And that's kind of what happened in our situation. We walked toward town, and it was about a two-hour walk. Once we got there, we didn't have a job. We didn't have a place to live. So it wasn't very easy for us to get started, but we did find a place to stay, and little by little we got on our feet, and eventually I ended up going back to the Amish and left a few other times.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you had enough. What do you mean by that? You had enough of what?
Growing up Amish, we were constantly drilled with do's and don'ts, and I guess at the age of about 15, something happened inside of me that rebelled against those rules. And because there was never really a good answer for why we did things the way we did, I rebelled against it and left.
Mm-hmm. And when is it that were you taught about Jesus Christ?
We were taught about Jesus Christ. We knew about him coming down to earth, dying for our sins. And we believe that he was the Son of God. Most of what I believe today, I knew back then because it was taught.
Now, you were baptized into an Amish church, correct?
I was.
Did that have special significance when that happened?
Baptism next to your wedding day is probably the biggest day in your life. And it is the day in which family members and friends from all over the country come in and watch you get baptized, and really, salvation really hangs on baptism itself.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day I was baptized, which was very common. Again, we all went down on our knees. We made a vow to the church, and we made a vow to God that we would always build up within the church. We would stay Amish, and then if we made that vow, then we had water poured on our head in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I was taught that as that water ran down over my head, it washed all my sin away.
Hmm. Now, you said you left after age 18. You had some comings and goings. But how was it then? Tell us about your actually accepting Christ as your Savior.
At the age of 17, my best friend drowned. And afterwards, I went to one of the ministers, and I asked him, I said, "Is Leander in heaven?" And he said, well, he said, Leander was just a little bit younger than the age to get baptized. And he said, because of that, he was unaccountable for his sins. And so in my mind, I wrestled with this because I wondered, you know, can anyone know for sure that they're going to heaven? Because where the group I grew up with, and which is also, again, most Amish groups do not believe in assurance of salvation. They hope that one day when they die, they will make it to heaven. But and that's what I believed. But at the age of 18, an outsider came to me and shared from the scriptures that you can have assurance. And I remember the day, July the 28th, 1985, we were sitting there, and he was trying to tell me that we all stand before a holy God as sinners. And I turned to him, and I said, Paul, are you telling me, and I chose the man in my life that I would have thought as the most righteous man on the earth. He was an Amish minister. I said, are you telling me that Albert is going to hell? And he goes, well, he said, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even Albert, the minister. And it was at that moment that I realized, you know, it's not just that we're sinners, it's that we've sinned, and we can do nothing about covering that sin. And on that particular day, there was no doubt in my mind, the love of God and the forgiveness of God came down from heaven and covered me as I reached out to Christ and believed in him alone for salvation.
And praise the Lord for that. Joe, you were married to your wife, Esther, and it was your intention to continue to raise your family within the Amish system?
That was our intention. Now, this was after I had gotten saved. There was still that desire to be with your family, to be in your community that you knew, and the structure and the protection from the outside world. And so it took a while for my wife. She had also gotten saved, and she was going to Bible studies, which was very much forbidden among the Amish culture. And I saw her little by little, you know, pulling away and going more the spiritual route. And it took me a while, but one day God did get a hold of me. And the day we left, it was a very difficult day. We had been married at that point, and we pretty much left everything and went back into town, and knowing that we would never have too much connection with our family again.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about shunning. We often hear about the word shunning as it pertains to Amish. What is shunning? When is it practiced? How is it practiced?
Shunning is the result of excommunication. So first, when there's a sin, if one of the members commits a sin, and it could be as simple as I've heard people get excommunicated for using a chainsaw. It could be that they drove a car, or it could be that they got caught with alcohol, or for whatever reason. Once they're excommunicated, then the members of the church will shun that person until they're brought back into fellowship. Hmm. And shunning can vary. Depends a little bit on what community. It depends a little bit on the type of church they're with. But in our case, it meant that you could no longer eat with your family or anyone else in the church membership. You'd have to eat at a separate table. And it also meant that you couldn't hand somebody something. You'd have to lay it down, and then the church member would pick it up.
Joe Keim is with us here today, founder and executive director of Mission to Amish People. Joe, let's talk about the belief system of the Amish as to what are the major tenets of faith, and also tell us why the plain clothes, why no electricity, why no automobiles?
Okay, well, we actually do a seminar, and I've compiled what I call the six ingredients that make up the salvation package for an Amish person. The first one is parental obedience. And as much as baptism is a part of one's salvation, parental obedience is probably the top one. They take a scripture out of Colossians chapter 1 where it talks about obeying your parents, and it goes on to say that this is the first command. And they kind of put a period there, but the verse following says that it's the first, well, really what it's doing, it's going back to Exodus chapter 20 and simply pulling out the first of 10 commandments that had a promise attached to it. But to the Amish, it is the first command. And so when someone leaves the Amish, that's always the first one that comes up. And then second, the baptism, which we've already discussed. Church membership is a big one. If you were born Amish, you're expected to, you know, look Amish, dress Amish, talk Amish, get married Amish, have an Amish family, and die Amish. If you do that well, then more than likely, there's a hope for you to get to heaven. And then there's a fourth one, and most of outsiders are familiar with this one. It says, be not conformed to this world. We had a little bit of a twisted view as to what, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 talked about. It says not to be conformed to the world. Well, if I were to ask you, Jim, you'd probably say, well, the world is lying, cheating, stealing, and murder, and those kinds of things. But to an Amish person, it meant electricity. It meant cars. It meant TV, internet, radio, cell phones, and those kinds of things. Mm. So we were not to be like the world. And then believing in Jesus Christ, you know, and we can go into this, you know, quite in depth, but again, here Jesus was part of the package. He was sort of thrown in there with all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
We believed in him. We read about him. We heard him preach and that kind of thing. But he was kind of clouded over because of all the legalism and the rules.
So it's Jesus Christ plus something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, the sixth ingredient that makes up the salvation package is the submission to the ordinance letter. This was just simply a handwritten letter. In our community, we had 20 pages of do's and don'ts, and it governed the clothing style, the colors, the buggy, how the buggy was to be built, the farmhouses, the types of paint you could use and couldn't use. And it was very, and twice a year we had an all-day church service where these rules would be discussed. New ones would be added. Other ones would be reminded. You know, members would be reminded of old ones. So this ordinance letter obviously is the very fabric of the Amish culture.
Joe Keim is our guest here today. He is founder and executive director of Mission to Amish People, and talking about their ministry, talking about the belief system of the Amish. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about the Amish community. We're going to also learn about the ministry that God has raised Joe up to found and to direct, a special conference coming up to assist people all across this nation on ministering to Amish. You're listening to Crosstalk in VCY America. We'll be back in just 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have fossils been found in a Martian meteorite?
Chris, this claim was made several years ago that a meteorite thought to have come from Mars and found in Antarctica contained tiny microfossils. Now, this news was trumpeted worldwide for about a year, but after that, scientists began to refute the idea. Over the next several years, almost every scientist that studied the meteorite concluded that the tiny structures were not fossils at all, but were inorganic magnetite crystals. Last fall's most recent study seemed to nail the lid on the coffin. These are not fossils. No, life has not been found on Mars, and I doubt that it will be. One thing I know for certain, life is so complex, wherever it is found, it will have been created and not evolved. And that's how I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're speaking today with Joe Keim, the founder and executive director of Mission to Amish People. Joe himself, being a former Amish, raised in an Old Order Amish, sharing his testimony, and went through the belief system of Amish, including their six ingredients to salvation. You indicate on your site that there's approximately 10 to 20% of Amish that have a personal relationship with Christ. Are these people, Joe, who remain in the Amish community and follow Amish practices, or are these people who have left the community?
No, they're actually, people that have chosen to stay Amish, and I see that more and more as over 2,000 have gotten saved through our ministry, and these are ones that we have testimonies from. And just today, in fact, I was on the phone with an Amish lady, and she was born again, excited, on fire. She had written a letter on grace, and she wanted me to read it. And but in her mind, she was always going to stay Amish.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're Amish and you're looking out, the world looks big. And, you know, the world has prisons. They have police departments and courtrooms, and we didn't have that, and we didn't feel like we needed it, and so it's a big transition for someone like that.
Now, you mentioned you spoke with her on the telephone. To remain Amish, is the telephone okay?
In her case, she had a cell phone, yes.
Hmm. Interesting. You also have indicated, looking through some materials here, that you state that the Amish community is fraught with problems. Tell us about them.
They have their own problems, and you know, this is an area where sometimes when I'm speaking in churches, people just don't like the idea of accepting the fact that the Amish culture has problems. But the truth is, they are human beings who struggle in some areas more than maybe even outsiders. And one of the things they struggle with is incest. It's probably it's hard to say what percentage of people have been affected, but I do know most of the young girls that come to our ministry for help have been affected by incest, and usually it involves the father or a brother. And then, of course, alcohol plays a huge part, and strangely enough, it seems like the more conservative the group, the more problems they the more problems they have with alcohol and incest.
Now, it's interesting because you mentioned earlier that they could be shunned if they're caught with alcohol, but yet alcohol is a major problem.
Yeah, it is definitely a problem, and I think in some communities the Amish have actually reached out to outsiders for help because they have excommunicated members. I was about a year ago, I was in Kirksville, Missouri. There's a very conservative group that is right there in that area. And I met with this Amish couple, and they said in that community, alcohol had gone beyond just the young people, the single people, that it followed into the marriages, and marriages were being hurt and falling apart because of it.
Well, Joe, you developed a burden to begin a ministry, and you're calling it Mission to Amish People. Tell us about that burden.
Well, you know, they are my people. And, I kind of look at them like Paul looked at the Jewish people. He was called to the Gentiles, but his people were still on his heart. And when I got saved, My burden for my family was, of course, the heaviest. But as I grew in my faith, and I began to think about all the Amish, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, 280,000, and they double in size every 15 or so years, which means they're exploding across America, and probably the fastest-growing culture in the world. And I didn't know of any missionary going to anyone or to going to the Amish culture. And in 1999, the Lord began to burden my heart. And I talked to my wife about it. And Eventually, I went to my pastor and I said, you know, what does it feel like when God calls you? And he looked at me and he said, Joe, that was in 1999. He said, Joe, I have been watching you. And he said, I know God has his hand on you. And I already have a name for your ministry, Mission to Amish People. Hmm. I had no idea what it was supposed to look like because, you know, when we go on missions trips to Africa, we may take a whole group over there and just, they know we're missionaries. They know we're there to help them and share the gospel. But when you go to the Amish, it's not like that. It's kind of like fishing. I always tell people, you throw your line in, you're very quiet, you catch one, you pull him out, and then you throw it back in for a second one. And but amazingly, in the last 14 years, God has done an amazing work through this ministry.
Tell us about it.
Well, we started out with a Bible study through the mail. You have to think about this. They don't have radio, TV, or internet, and so they're really kind of cut off from any resources outside of what they have, and what they have is very, very little. And so we began to question, how are we going to reach them? And so God gave us this idea that every one of them has a mailbox. And so we began to use the mailbox. We started sending out lessons, Bible lessons. Today we have about 30, right close to 40 different courses. Each course has about 10 to 12 lessons, and we invite these Amish, you know, from 5 years all the way up to adult. I think of our oldest student was 80-some years old. They're very evangelistic in nature, and last year we sent out 80,000 of those lessons.
Wow.
So
it's like a Bible correspondence course?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, tremendous. No. And you've seen results to that?
Yeah, we have. We've had, I think this year already, in the first 2 months of this year, we've had over 50 salvation testimonies that came back in the mail.
Praise the Lord. So you have the purpose then of evangelizing Amish, and then does discipleship follow with that?
That is our goal, and it is something that we're working on. We've got evangelism down pat, but it's been a little bit harder to come alongside of them because they don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we mail our Bible lessons out from a post office that is way off limits, and so that they don't connect it with the ministry. And but we are coming out with some new courses. And we have a new ministry we call the Plowman's Academy, and it's more for discipleship. So we're working on that.
Mm-hmm. I see also you assist older teenagers and young adults who've left the Amish culture to provide basic life skills. Tell us about that.
Today, there are more and more of them leaving. Most of them are single adults, and more of them are leaving before they turn 18, and the reason they leave so early is because they don't want to join and become members of the church. So they will leave right before that time, and they come out, they need jobs, they need housing, and, you know, every other thing. We try to encourage them to go get their GED, and our top goal is to share the gospel with them along the way. And so over the last 10 years or so, my wife and I have taken in over 100, probably close to 130 different ones, and help them get on their feet.
Wow. Joe Keim with us here today from Mission to Amish People. And Joe, you have a conference coming up next month in the month of April called an Amish Awareness Conference. Tell us about the conference you have planned.
Here again, our goal, we're all of a sudden realizing that there's Amish people are searching more today than ever before. And they're opening up to outsiders, and it's a perfect opportunity for someone to go up to their Amish neighbor and share the gospel with him. The problem is, a lot of times, a non-Amish person kind of is scared to go up and open up. And it's because of the differences in culture. And so our goal with the Amish Awareness Conference is to take that wall away and help them, help those who attend the conference get to know who the Amish are, where they come from, their background, the culture, and then what they believe and how they can evangelize their Amish friends and neighbors.
So the conference taking place in Savannah, Ohio.
Savannah, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And give us the dates.
April 10th and 11th.
Mm-hmm. And basically, what will people learn as they come to the conference?
They will learn, I think probably the biggest thing they'll learn is that the Amish are just human beings, and to reach out and love them, give them, you know, I have different people ask me, can I give them a gift for Christmas or their birthday, or can I stop in, or can I invite them over for a cookout? And so our goal is just to kind of lay down those walls and help them connect with the Amish.
And you have a number of guest speakers coming?
We do. We have different ones coming from Melvin Schrock and his wife from Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. We have Jonas and Mary from Kentucky. And then we have a couple other ones just coming in, and it's going to be a very packed 2 days of conference. We have former Amish coming in, sharing their testimonies of what they went through and how the ministry helped them out and where they're at today.
Now, you've also established a website specifically for this conference. Give us that web address, if you would.
That website is AmishAwareness.com.
AmishAwareness.com. And there they can learn information about registering for the conference?
Mm-hmm.
And also, for those who'd like more information about your own ministry, Mission to Amish People, you've got a point of contact as well.
Yeah, we have. That's the main website. In fact, if they go to this website, it'll right on the homepage, it'll take them to the Amish Awareness website. But the main website for our ministry is mapministry.org. MAP, M-A-P stands for Mission to Amish People. So it's mapministry.org.
And folks, that would be the main gateway where you can get more information even about the upcoming conference as well and information about their ministry as a whole, mapministry.org. Again, that stands for Mission to Amish People. Well, Joe Keim is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and we'd like to open the phone lines to give you opportunity to call and ask questions of our guest here today as it relates to reaching the Amish. Perhaps you have questions about the Amish people. If you have questions pertaining to the conference, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Our lines are open. We'll take your calls after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network. Again, the number is 800-733-9829. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Is the biblical account of Noah and the ark literal, or is it figurative? Was this a universal flood, or was it contained to a local area? Is it plausible to believe that all those animals and their food could fit on the ark? How did the flood start? How was the ark designed? What were the world conditions before the flood? These and many other issues are addressed in the book, Don't Miss the Boat, Facts to Keep Your Faith Afloat. In this book, author Paul Taylor examines the biblical account of the flood with solid evidence. You'll learn about the fossil record, radiometric dating, the Ice Age, and many other related issues. The book also concludes with a challenge about the gospel according to Noah and how the ark relates to the urgent need for salvation today. Don't Miss the Boat is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Mission to Amish people are a topic here today on Crosstalk. Joe Keim is our guest. He's a founder and executive director of Mission to Amish People, and they are based in Savannah, Ohio. But I understand, Joe, that you have got contacts, missionaries in other states as well.
We do. We have one stationed in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, Melvin and Ellis Rock, and then we have another one in Princeton, Kentucky, Jonas and Mary Yoder.
Okay. And if they would like a specific contact, like people in Wisconsin who want to contact your Wisconsin rep, or those in Kentucky, one of your Kentucky rep, or we got a lot of stations here to pick up the program here in Ohio and surrounding states at the main ministry headquarters, give us a contact phone number there for your ministry as well, if you would.
The contact phone number would be 419-962-1515.
Okay, again, folks, that's mapministry.org, and the number 419-962-1515. And for information on the conference specifically, you can go to mapministry.org or directly to the conference site, amishawareness.com. Well, let's go to the phone lines here today. We're going to begin in the state of Florida. Steve, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. I want to give credence to what the brother is stating here there in the show. We didn't know much about Amish. A couple years back, we ordered some furniture from one of the states up north. They made the furniture and they delivered it, and we started talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, etc., and most of the answers were very proper according to Scripture, but I had a little bit unease. But then a few months later, we had some more furniture delivered, and a different person came, a younger man, and we asked him some more questions, and come to find out, he had been ousted, kind of like excommunicated from the whole community. He wasn't Amish, but he was witnessing for Christ to them. That's when we found out they're not born again.
Mm.
Thank you for your show.
Thank you, Steve. A comment there, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much explains what a lot of people go through. At first, it's like, no way. Of all the people, you know, they seem like they are more Christian than most of us who know the gospel. And yet, the outward appearance can be fooling.
Dale is calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Dale. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, Joe, you're doing a good work there. I appreciate what you're doing. And I was fortunate to be in a group of people that we heard Melvin and Alice Schrock speak to our group here in Eau Claire. And that was very encouraging to hear what's going on in their lives. I think it makes a lot of difference. Maybe you could explain about the bishops in different areas, that they're kind of like little dictators. I mean, whatever they say goes.
Thank you, Dale.
Yeah, the bishop is probably the most powerful person in a group. And each district has its own bishop. And a district is usually made up of about 25 families. Because they have church services in the home, they would consider that one district. And those bishops are usually, they're not bishop because they feel they can be, but because the lot fell on them. They'll cast lots, and whoever it falls on, that person then becomes the bishop or the deacon or any one of the two lay ministers. And the bishop does have a lot of power. But on the other hand, they cannot just come up with any rule they want and enforce it.
Our number 800-733-9829, and he mentioned that they had the Schrocks come into their church, like the Schrocks in Wisconsin, the Yoders in Kentucky, yourself. Are you free to go to churches and minister and present the work of Mission to Amish People?
We are, and I'm glad he brought that up, because I've been in probably 400 or 500 different churches all the way from New York out through Iowa in the last 14 years, and that is exactly what Melvin and Jonas are doing as well. Just going into churches, we have a PowerPoint. We have a two-part PowerPoint that we present in two different churches. One of them is on the Amish and their beliefs, and the other one is on the ministry and how we're reaching them.
Let's go next to Samuel in South Dakota. Samuel, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Joe, praise the Lord for your work. I'm an ex-Hutterite. I got out of the Hutterite system the same way you got out of the Amish system. And I used to live in Lancaster County, my wife and I, and we had a shuttle service hauling Amish around. and ministering to them and sharing the gospel, and actually had a privilege of a few, seeing a few families come out. And I was just so excited to hear about your work and about the burden that God gave you, because I come from the same background. I'm an ex-Hutter. I got born again, and so far the Lord has not given me that kind of burden for the Hutterite people, and I pray that He would by the grace of God.
That's awesome. I'm very glad. I hope you go to the website, and I should tell people, if they have any desire to follow the ministry and see what God is doing, they can join the mailing list, and we do send out updates, and it's a great way for us to stay connected, keep people encouraged to keep on reaching out and evangelizing.
Are you familiar with the Hutterites, Joe?
I am. I am familiar with the Hutterites, and I have some very good friends from Canada and Dakota area that I have connected with off and on over the years. And really appreciate, you guys who have come out, gotten saved, and feel somewhat of a connection there, because I know we're from the Anabaptist movement and, you know, sort of the same type of people today.
Well, Samuel, we'd encourage you, of course, to be in touch with MAP Ministry, and you can certainly coordinate further with them. We will be giving out that website and phone number again. Thanks so much for the call. The lines are packed here. We're going to Kelly in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Did that last caller say he was a Mennonite?
No, a Hutterite.
Oh, I don't know what that is. But anyway, I have two questions. One is, are the Amish offshoots of the Puritans, and are Mennonites kind of the same as Amish?
Is there a connection there?
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Joe?
Yeah, the Amish actually are an offshoot of the Mennonites.
Okay.
The Hutterites were before the Amish as well. There was the Quakers, the Hutterites, and the Mennonites that were birthed out of the Anabaptist movement. And it wasn't until 150 years after that beginning that the Amish divided, man by the name of Jacob Ammon left, and he became known as the founder of the Amish.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, again, to connect with their ministry. Now, you also have something called the Amish Voice publication?
We do. It's a 12-page publication. And if you sign up online, you can get the free copy through the website. And we encourage people to sponsor Amish families. And we have some people that sponsor 100 or 500 families, and that simply means that they pay for the postage and the postage and the printing. And then we sent the Amish Voice out every other month to Amish people.
Okay, so with that Amish Voice you send out is an evangelistic witness.
Very much evangelistic and discipleship. Most of the writers are either former Amish or Amish themselves.
Again, folks, the website is mapministry.org. Their phone number is 419-962-1515. Let's go next to Mississippi. Kimberly, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for what you're doing. We've always had a deep love for the Amish people, and I now realize over the last just few years in our hearts, it's because we want to open our home to young kids that are coming out and need a place to stay, need help getting started in life, so that their parents feel like that they're safe. So my husband and I, we want to get started with that as soon as we can. But I wanted to ask you, Mr. Joe, the charity movement in Effort of Pennsylvania, what is the relation to charity with Brother Kennington? I know he's gone on and passed on and he's in heaven. Do you know anything about the Ephrata, Pennsylvania charity movement?
Yes, very familiar with them. Yeah, they have made some inroad. They're more plain, a little bit closer to what Amish people. Most of the time when an Amish family leaves, they have a hard time going all the way. And so the charity movement has been there to kind of be a halfway step for them.
Okay, but they are Christians.
They preach the gospel, yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly. And again, we'd encourage you to connect with MAP Ministry, and I'm sure they may have some contacts for you there as well.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Lydia in Shell Lake, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Joe, this is Lydia Corpening, and I just wanted to say how blessed I have been since I've met you and been able to be just a small part of the ministry. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Lydia. We appreciate you as well. You've been a big part of this ministry and have really been a blessing. We didn't really talk about the Amish Voice conference line, but the first Sunday night of every month, we open up a conference line that allows up to 1,000 Amish callers to call in, and we've brought on counselors. We've discussed topics such as excommunication and shunning, what is worldliness, and just various other topics, and Lydia has been very much a part of that.
Lydia, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now. Let's go next to Butler, Missouri. Eva, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, I live about 12 miles from a Mennonite Amish community, and I presume that's pretty closely related. And I was wanting to witness to them. I can go down there and distribute some of the materials, and I just wonder if you can send them to me. Is that about the same thing?
It really depends. I mean, you have about 40 different groups of Amish. They vary very much from very, very conservative to very open-minded and even preaching the gospel. And the Mennonites are the same way. You have the very legalistic ones who are still driving horse and buggy, preaching their services all in German, which is a very difficult language for them to understand, but they believe it is the holiest language of three that they know. And so, but then you have Mennonites that are much more open-minded, are preaching the gospel, and really big into evangelism and missionary work.
Mm-hmm. So, Eva, again, we'd suggest you connect with the ministry through their web or through their phone number for more specific information. Thanks for your call and your desire to have outreach there as well. Wisconsin Dells, Dan, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
Say, I'm Dan from Wisconsin Dells. I'm a Christian for 30 years. I'm an Amish driver for 20 years. I'll be leaving tonight and take them down to Chicago from the Dells. Joe, he just said a little while ago that there's Amish groups that, they're saved. I've been around the Amish, and I go all over the Midwest. They're some of the righteousness people that I've ever ran into. I know they have their rules. They're kind of stern, and the bishops are not dictators. They do crack the whip, but they're different in different communities. I took a group of young ladies fishing, and on the way there, halfway down, I had a smile on my face on this trip. It was just so delightful. They sang gospel songs all the way there. They believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. As far as born again in John, you must be born of the Spirit and of water. They're different, just like us. I know I hear something coming on, but anyhow, their righteousness exceeds a lot of the righteousness of the Christians that I know.
Okay, we'll have them address that after the break. Thank you for the call, and you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be back in 1 minute. For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewweekend.com. Twisted Scripture, number 29. Joel chapter 2, 28-31, which is repeated in Acts chapter 2, is often used to say that people should be having visions and dreams and mystical experiences to receive extra biblical revelation. The problem is, Joel 2, which is repeated in Acts 2, is speaking specifically about the house of David, the house of Israel. In fact, we see that in Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. In fact, we see that in Zechariah 12:10 that it is specifically the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We see this same thing in Joel 2. I will pour out my flesh on your sons and your daughters. Who? The house of Israel. When is this? It goes on to say, when the moon turns blood, when the different things in the sky begin to happen. And when does this happen? It says before the great coming of the Lord, the great day of the Lord. When is that? At the end of the tribulation, before we go into the millennial kingdom. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Joe Keim is our guest today, Mission to Amish People. And Joe, the caller that we had just going into that break there was saying, you know, I've not met people that are more righteous than these people, than the Amish people. Are you mistaken on this, Joe? All of a sudden I went to the pages of Scripture too, and Matthew 5:20 says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." And we know that the scribes and Pharisees, they tried to do everything right by the book and then some.
Yeah.
So respond to that caller on this issue of aren't they a righteous people?
Well, I think the caller needs to understand there are some that are born again. We don't doubt that. But there are many, the majority. I asked an Amish guy one time, I said, how many do you think are truly born again? And he said, probably 5%. And later he said, at most 10%. And I think his answer was very close. We do love their values. There is so much that we could learn from their family and work ethics and honesty and hard work. You know, there's many things about them that we could adopt out here and be better people.
Well, we're going to pick up our next call from Texas. Mingo, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, my brother. Joe, I come from the Mennonite Brethren. In 1937, the Mennonite Brethren came to South Texas and brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing that now we started a church called Faith Fellowship Bible Church, and we go by the Mennonite Brethren Church. They only believe that we don't lose our salvation, because the Mennonite Brethren at one time when I was attending, their teaching was that you can lose your salvation. Which is, there's no big deal to that. I mean, we're all born-again Christians. Whether, you know, one person thinks that they lose their salvation, that's not going to keep them from going to heaven. But the Mennonite Brethren, they brought a lot to South Texas. And they were good people. And they're good people today. And they're spread all over California, the Mennonite Brethren. Mm-hmm. And they're out of Kansas. And Oklahoma, you see him all the time.
Sure.
But the only thing about that on their doctrine, Brother Joe, is that they think that they can lose their salvation. Well, that was our thinking way back 20 years, you know, when I was a member of the Mennonite Brethren Church here in South Texas.
Joe, your comment.
Yeah, it sounds like they're preaching the gospel. They're just not believing in the security of the believer. I run into that a lot. I tend to focus on, do you have a testimony? Was there a time in your life when you were born again?
Yeah.
Forget about whether you can lose it or keep it. Do you have a testimony? Because I know for years I struggled with the security of the believer. You know, it was just so ingrained in me that you can lose your, or that you can't know for sure. But, you know, once I understood it, it really helped me in my walk.
Yeah. Thank you, Mingo. Mary, you're next in Lubbock, Texas. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Thank you. My heart goes out to the incest victims. I myself was an incest victim. I'm not Amish, but I was an incest victim for many, many years, from 8 years old to like high school, off and on. And my heart goes out to the women and children that have been incest victims by the brothers said, you know, brothers and fathers. Is there a healing ministry for these women? Are they being delivered from their hurts and their deep sorrows that have been inflicted upon them? Of course, hopefully it's by the unbeliever that was doing this and they're ignorant.
Yeah, we do help them. We have counseling that we provide for many of the young girls. And, you know, whether we actually have a benevolent fund started where people can give to the benevolent fund, and it helps us with the counseling ministry.
Thank you, Mary. Mark in Kansas, you're on the air.
Yeah, Joe, I wanted to tell you, I believe that you have one of the toughest ministries in America. I pastored, my wife and I ministered from south of Butler, Missouri, Rich Hill, Missouri, to El Dorado Springs, and somewhat toward Springfield. And it's a hard group to get to trust you. And I found that the greatest blessing to us were the number of men that would come to our church to hear the gospel that were ostracized from the Amish people. So I'd like for you to just know that there are a lot of people that are praying for you because you have a tough, difficult ministry because it's hard for them to trust. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for your call. We're going to pick up one final call, this one from Enos in Hayward, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Yeah, I just want to bless Joe for being reaching out to the Amish. That was my background, and I personally know Melvin Schroff, and he might even tell you that we went, took him out of his house that night and went out for Bible study on some field in a van. But anyway, yeah, I just thank God for people that have a burden for Amish, and I would love to have everyone pray for them because they do need the Lord, and they don't really see the gospel as the Bible puts it, and I was seeking since I was 15 years old.
God bless you, Enos. Thank you so much for your call. We're just about out of time. If you would, Joe, I'd like you to give some contact information again. The conference you mentioned, the Amish Awareness Conference, April 10th and 11th, Savannah, Ohio. A number of guest speakers, registration information available at AmishAwareness.com, AmishAwareness.com. But for the whole of your ministry, MAP Ministry, give us that website, give us a phone number, a contact where more listeners can follow up with your ministry.
The website address is mapministry.org, map.org. Our phone number here at the office is 419-962-1515.
Great. Well, Joe, we appreciate you being with us today, and I know listeners are praying for you and your important work and ministry and your fellow missionaries that you have in Kentucky and Wisconsin. And folks, if you want more information on the ministry of Mission to Amish People, that's mapministry.org. And Joe, if you'll stay on the line, we'll talk with you after the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.